Oh dear. So as Gary said, I'm going to talk about who we let speak into our life. So who do you trust to speak into your life, what God's saying to you? And who do we trust to speak into the church's life? You know? Think about that. So I guess in the Bible there's lots of cases, and Kerry, I'm not going to talk about the donkey, but there are lots of cases where God sends people who we don't expect to talk into our life. We're going to go back to the building of the temple. David wanted to build the temple to the Lord. It's interesting, I haven't asked Keith, but all through it talks about the temple as being the place of the name of God, not the place of God, if you read through the Bible. I haven't looked into that, but it's just something to think about. But anyway, David wanted to build the temple, but God told him he couldn't because he had too much bloodshed, and he told him that Solomon would build him. And Solomon built the temple, and God promised that his name would be there forever. So it's interesting that the temple, it's not what I'm talking about today, but the temple is not a place for God, it's a place for his name. So I don't know exactly what that means. Or for at least as long as the people didn't stray from God. And if we read 1 Kings 9, 1 to 9, we can read about the promises that God made about the temple. So when Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and achieved all that he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me in integrity of heart and uprightness as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you and go off and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now imposing, all who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to his land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God who brought their fathers out of Egypt and embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them. And this is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. So sometimes God talks to us directly and he gives us promises and commandments and all that sort of thing. And we need to make sure we listen and we obey those commands, because it didn't take long for Solomon and the rest of the Jewish people to stray from what God had told them. Solomon died and the kingdom was torn in two because Solomon hadn't listened to what God had spoken to him directly. He hadn't observed the laws and he'd gone off and worshipped other gods. So, you know, if God tells you something, you better listen and you better do it. And then we get Solomon's son Rehoboam, who is set to become king, but he listens to the wrong people. So if we read 1 Kings 12, 1 to 17. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labour and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people, he asked. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favourable answer, they will always be your servants. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young man who had grown up with him and who was serving him. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young man who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, and as the king had said, come back to me in 3 days. The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given him by the elders. He followed the advice of young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy, I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips, I will scourge you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfil the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam son of Nebat through Abijah the Shinalite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel, look after your own house, O David. So the Israelites went home, but as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. So he had two lots of people speaking into his life. He had the elders who had advised his father Solomon. Now, Solomon was a very wise man, so you think that the people who advised him would be wise, so that it might be a good idea to listen to them. But they didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. I think he'd already made up his mind before anybody spoke to them what he wanted to do, and it says there that it was done to fulfil the word of God. So who does he go? He goes and asks his friends and his mates who tell him what he wants to hear. And I think we really need to be careful of that too, that we're not just listening to what we want to hear, but that we're listening to advice of wise people, people who have grown up in the Lord and know things, not just, you know, somebody says this is a good thing and it sounds good, it's what we want to hear. I don't know why anybody would think that it would be wise to tell people that I'm going to make your life even harder and I'm going to whip you. But obviously that's what he wanted to do, so that's what he listened to. So, you know, we need to make sure in our life that it's the wise people that we're listening to and not just what we want to hear. You know, God had blessings for Israel if they stayed together as a kingdom, you know, and it was terrible things happened when they split apart. So that's a big turning point in history because he didn't listen to the advice of the wise people. And so both kingdoms then had lots of different kings, some good and some bad, mostly bad, and eventually they all ended up in exile. So in 2 Chronicles 36, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylons who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the kings and officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word the Lord had spoken by Jeremiah. So God sends people to talk into their lives and they don't listen, not just once, but over and over and over again. And God kept sending messengers and he keeps sending people to tell us too, you know, and we need to make sure we're not stubborn or we don't want to hear, because sometimes God tells us things we don't want to hear through other people. I mean, they didn't want to know, I suppose, that God was going to send them off into exile. They didn't want to believe that. But just because we don't want to believe something doesn't mean it's not God's word and it isn't going to happen. You know, so we need to make sure that we're knowing what God says and we believe that he's going to do what he says, because he will do it. And they all went into exile. The temple was destroyed. All those things that he'd said to Solomon he would do if he and his sons didn't follow God came to pass. You know, he wanted to rescue his people. He sent messengers again and again because he had pity on them. But if you don't listen, there's going to come a time when God's judgment is going to come. And it came it came to the people of the Israelites and the Jews, and they were sent to exile. But God promised to rescue them from exile too. So someone comes to rescue them. Who brings the message to them to go home? Which messenger does he send? Which godly person does he send? It doesn't come from a godly person. It comes from the king of Persia. So, you know, somebody who's not a Jew, not a chosen person, somebody who is outside of God's people, who doesn't know God, comes to tell them that the time has come to go home and to rebuild the temple. So in Ezra 1, which is where I am and I'm looking for it, 1 to 11, we see what God's saying to his people from a foreigner, from somebody who they don't expect to speak into their lives. All the messengers that God sent before were prophets. They were Israelites. They were expected to speak into their lives. But here we have somebody who's not part of God's people speaking. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judea. Any of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judea and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to provide him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the heads of Judah, Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All the neighbours assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all of the freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought by Mithredath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Shebazar, the prince of Judah. This was the inventory. Gold dishes, 30. Silver dishes, 1,000. Silver pans, 29. Gold bowls, 30. Matching silver bowls, 410. Other articles, 1,000. In all, there were 5,400 articles of gold and of silver. Shezebar brought all these along when the exiles came up from Babylon to Jerusalem. So, do we expect God to speak to us from people who don't believe in him? The king of Persia wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Jew. He didn't know what was truth. He didn't know the word of God. He didn't know the books of the Bible, whatever they called them back then. And yet here God's moving in his heart and using him to speak, not just to an individual, but to a whole community. You know? He is part of what we would call the world, you know. So who in the world is speaking into our lives and telling us what God wants us to do, reminding us of the promises God's made to us? You know, when you've forgotten and, if they've been a long time in exile, 70 years or something, there would have been generations who didn't know. People hadn't told them. And yet here's somebody giving them hope who's not a believer. You know, and we see several kings continue to support the building of the temple, providing money for the rebuilding and the providing the sacrifices. And in Ezra 7, 11 to 28, we can read what King Artaxerxes did for the people of Judah. This is the copy of the letter King Artaxerxes had given to Ezra the priest and teacher, a man learned in matters concerning the commands and decrees of the Lord for Israel. So again, somebody who's outside the people of Israel is telling them what God is saying to them. He's telling them about the laws. Artaxerxes, King of Kings, to Ezra the priest, a teacher of the Lord, of the God of heaven, greetings. Now I decree that any of the Israelites in my kingdom, including priests and Levites, who wish to go to Jerusalem with you may go. You are sent by the king and his seven advisers to inquire about Judea and Jerusalem with regards to the law your God, which is in your hand. Moreover, you are to take with you silver and gold that the king and his advisers have freely given to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem, together with all the silver and gold you may obtain from the province of Babylon, as well as the freewill offerings of the people and priests for the temple of their God in Jerusalem. With this money, Be sure to buy bulls, rams, and male lambs, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, and sacrifice them on the altars of the temple of your God in Jerusalem. You and your brothers, Jews, may then do whatever seems best with the rest of the silver and gold in accordance with the will of your God. Deliver to the God of Jerusalem all the articles entrusted to you for worship in the temple of your God, and anything else needed for the temple of your God, that you may have occasion to supply, you may provide from the royal treasury. Now I, King Artaxes, order all the treasurers of the Trans-Euphrates to provide with diligence whatever Ezra the priest, a teacher of the law of God of heaven, may ask you. Up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of olive oil, and salt without limit. Whatever the God of heaven has prescribed, let it be done with diligence for the temple of the God of heaven. Why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and of his sons? You are also to know that you have no authority to impose taxes, tributes, or duties on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple workers, or other workers at this house of God. And you, Ezra, in accordance with the wisdom of your God, which you possess, appoint magistrates and judges to administer justice to all the people of Trans-Euphrates, all who know the laws of your God. And you are to teach any who do not know them. Whoever does not obey the law of your God and the law of the king must surely be punished by death, banishment, or confiscation of property or imprisonment. Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put into the king's heart to bring honour to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way. Excuse me. And who has extended his good favour to me before the king and his advisers and all the king's powerful officials. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage and gathered the leading men from Israel to go up with me. So he's a second king who doesn't know God, a second foreigner being used to encourage the people of God and to get them to back on track and to know what God wants them to do and to follow God's laws. You know, he's saying if you don't follow God's laws, you're going to get punished. That's not normally what we expect somebody who doesn't know God to be saying, you know. So God can use anybody, and he does use anybody to speak into our lives as individuals and to our life as a community. You know, sometimes it's God's people who are leading us astray. You know, the Jewish leaders didn't listen to the people that God sent to them, and they led the people into exile, basically, into death and destruction, because they didn't listen to God's word. You know, we need to make sure that the people who are in charge of us are listening to God and helping us to repent if that's what God wants us to do, and not ignore what God is saying. You know, God will speak through those who wouldn't normally trust. You wouldn't normally trust those kings to lead the Israelite people, and yet God spoke through them. You know, and the same today, sometimes people who aren't saved or not in a relationship with Jesus, God's going to put his hand on them and say to them, you're going to speak into that person's life, and we need to listen and not just brush it aside. You know, I'm not saying take everything everybody says. You know, you need to weigh it up against scripture and all that sort of thing, but we need to listen to everybody. There's nothing, you know, we had the donkey speaking to Balaam. There isn't anybody that God can't use to speak into our life. And I think, you know, we get so caught up in, as a church, not this church, but as a Christian church, in all the things that we forget about the love things. And I read something on Facebook the other day about Pope Francis, and one of the things he said is that the church has an unhealthy obsession with abortion, gay marriage, and contraception. He criticised the church for putting dogma before love and for prioritising moral doctrine over serving the poor and marginalised. And I think, you know, we need to listen to what some of those people, you know, what gay people have to say and what people having abortions are having to say and all that sort of thing, because they've got things to say to us too that God's saying. Just because I'm not saying any of those things are right, but that doesn't mean that they don't have things to say that we need to hear from God about them. You know, what are they saying to us that God wants us to hear and to act on? Because we need to love them and appreciate them and respect them as much as we do anybody else, you know. And, you know, sometimes I think we think some of those sins are worse than any other, and I don't think that's true in God's eyes. You know, all of us are sinners. And yet we don't say, oh, you can't speak into my life because you're a sinner, but we can say it about those sorts of people, and we need to be careful that we're not doing that. You know, God chose the shepherds to tell of his birth, and they were considered untrustworthy men, and yet that's who God used. You know, the star in the east, who followed that? The Magi. who were astronomers, you know, all those things, astrologers, that, you know, God says divination is the sin of witchcraft, you know. So yet that's how he chose to announce his coming into the world. You know, the Jews were able to return to their land and build the temple because of those kings' decrees, not because of what they did or what, you know, godly people said, but because of what ungodly people said. So just as we start a new year, just take some time to think about who's speaking into your life and what they've got to say to you, and be open-minded to listen, you know, sift. We need discernment and we need wisdom, because not everything that's said into our lives is we should take on board. But I think sometimes we throw some of it away because, you know, for whatever reason we have bias or we're judgmental or whatever, and we just need to make sure that we're listening to what God says to us from everybody.
Father, I just want to thank you for that word this morning, and I pray you'd give us all wisdom in listening, Lord, to you, whoever you choose to speak to us through. Lord, help us to always be in tune with your spirit and ready to hear your word to us. Amen.